The picks that will end the third round and start the fourth round for Nate Noy, it is Austin Dillon and Kasey Kahne. Austin Dillon last year finishing 14th, a breakthrough year for him, making the chase, coming off of 21st and 20th place finishes the previous 2 years. 16th on the intermediate course races last year, 3rd on restrictor plates, 11th on the short tracks, 1st on the super speedways. Nobody did it better on average finishes than him, not in the top 20 on road courses. Kasey Kahne, another one of these guys of like, wasn't he supposed to have broken through by now? 17th last year, 18th the year before, 15th in 2014, making the chase that year. 12th last year in intermediate course races, not in the top 20 on restrictor plates or super speedways. Tied for 6th on the short tracks, 12th on the road courses. Austin Dillon, Kasey Kahne, at the risk of being just a little bit too glib here, you look at the trajectory of an Austin Dillon, and maybe it's a little bit of a cautionary tale when you look at the next pick here of Kasey Kahne, because if you don't take the next step forward, if you're Austin Dillon, then you turn into Kasey Kahne, do you not?
Not when Grandpa runs the team.
All right, so we got time here then, huh?
We have time.
Okay.
There. Kasey Kahne, on the other hand,
I
think time is going to be knocking on his door because so much was expected out of him when he first signed.
Yep.
And it, you know, it just hasn't, I mean, it hasn't come to him.
Right.
So, I think he could be on his last legs. I think if Team Hendrick had somebody that they could replace him with, they would.
Yeah.
I just think right now, I think he's on his last legs with Hendrick.
That's one of
even
those
with
things.
A win. I
oh
think
yeah,
that.
Very possibly. And you look at his career, and you go back to that whole Yogi Berra thing of it's getting late, kind of early out here, and that's how it kind of looks. And yet, it's interesting. You look at the field, beginning of the fourth round, and again, I'd be the last person to dismiss this since he's going off of the FDH draft board here, but. For all this that we're saying about Kasey Kahne, it's far more, I think, a function of making a pick when you are, at this point, you've had now 16 picks. That's the 16th pick overall, and he was the 15th pick on the FDH draft board. So for everything we're saying, I think it's far more a function of you're rolling the dice at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely.
There aren't enough drivers yet left for you not to. Another guy here, very, very interesting, is that I will be going with Ryan Newman for my next pick. Another guy who, again, has not probably overall had the kind of career that people envisioned that he would have. A disappointing 18th place finish last year, so I am buying low to be sure. 11th in 2015, 2nd in 2014, which is about as good as it's gotten for him. 14th on the intermediate course races last year, 12th on restrictor plates, 17th on short tracks, 16th on super speedways, 10th on road courses. So whatever else you want to say about the guy and the kind of year that he had, he did finish in the top 17th or better on all track types, 14th on the intermediates, which are the most important ones. So for Ryan Newman, it's another one here where I think there's at least a solid floor for what he can do. That's why I like the pick here in the fourth round. Maybe a little bit of upside to grow beyond that. I mean, not the upside of being a serious contender, I don't think. Although, again, he will only be 3 years off of a second-place finish. But, unless he gets hurt like Dale Earnhardt Jr. did last year, which is always the variable that comes into this thing. Barring something completely out of left field, he's probably not going to underperform where he's getting taken at, I wouldn't think.
I don't think so. And the one thing about Ryan Newman, he is so aggressive on pole day that, you know, you get a couple of poles out of Ryan Newman. And, you know, he starts up front, and maybe that'll get you a few extra top tens, top
right.
fives.
Well, you talk about being aggressive on pole day.
No.
For this next pick, we might have to ask.
That was my line.
We might have to ask Ricky Stenhouse Jr. the extent to which that's the case, because he's the only guy in NASCAR that would probably know this. Because I know you saw where Anthony was going with this next one here. A very interesting pick for Anthony. Danica Patrick in the middle of the fourth round. I'd have to go through and see. This is probably the highest she's ever been taken. And again, Anthony, with his specialized criteria of liking drivers that he thinks are going to race more to the system this year, or that are going to race more to the system in a easily achievable kind of a way, I'm very intrigued because there's nothing I see in her track record that points it out. This is another one of these picks where I'll be very anxious to talk to somebody after the show. She was 24th in the standings the last 2 years, 28th in 2014. So to go here in this spot, 18th overall, would be a jump up, a significant jump up from what she's done before. 20th on the intermediate course races last year, 18th on the short tracks, 19th on the road courses, not in the top 20 average finish on restrictor plates or super speedways. The super speedway one kind of surprises me given her background in open wheel. But anyways, looking at this here, again, I'm at a loss for what Anthony was thinking, but how do you see it playing out?
She's hot.
Can we be honest?
I had her last year. I think I took her in round five or six.
Can we be honest, like on the sports curve?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like I always say, compared to like Ashley Forrest, get out of here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give me any of the Forrest daughters. Which, by the way, didn't one of the Forrest daughters marry somebody from, who did she marry? It was one of the Indy drivers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One of the... I'm blowing it right now. Graham Rahal.
Really?
Like, you talk about, yeah, it's like, when I first saw that, I was just like, that's going to rival, like, the Agassi-Steffi Graf kind of a thing as far as, like, the offspring, albeit you're talking open wheel and you're talking drag racing. So who's to say what the kid's going to come out being good at? It could be that he's not good enough at one or the other. It could be a weird genetic kind of a thing. Or he might be the greatest. Maybe he'll race two different circuits and be the greatest of all time. You just never know.
You don't.
Yeah, yeah. But with Danica here at this point, and it's very funny because Anthony had Ricky Stenhouse like one pick behind her on his draft board. So that just makes me laugh. Again, and that's not a common thing either, because I think most people, we pretty much every year have had Ricky Stenhouse Jr. a little bit ahead of her, because we're getting to that point in time, we're starting to get to where each of them would be drafted. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. in this spot would probably be less of a surprise. She is certainly, I think, more of a surprise.
I agree, yeah.
So we'll have to see. He obviously thinks she's going to race more to the type of system here this year, but I have my doubts. We come now to your next selection, and I'll be very curious to see who you add to the Busch brothers and Denny Hamlin.
Well, who you have here at 17 and 18, it could go either way.
Okay. But do you agree with me that there's a cutoff after those guys?
I do.
Okay.
I do. So, that being said,
you got a good chance of getting both of them because you got Matt in the middle.
Yeah.
And Matt just loves to throw curveballs.
This is very true, and I can't see Matt's board from where I'm sitting here.
I'll be honest with you.
So I
shouldn't ruin the suspense, but it doesn't matter who you take because I'm looking at Matt's guys. Matt's going to get two guys that are completely different than the guys you're looking at. So whoever you think is the better value in this spot, whoever you think as our editor for Motorsports would be a better pick, go ahead.
I mean, it's they're very, you know. So I'll just. Based off, you know, what we talked about off, you know, your board and what we talked about prior to this, and, you know, I didn't make any changes. I didn't suggest anything, you know.
That's generally how
draft.
It goes.
Yeah.
I do the first draft. I submit it to you. We kind of go through it a little bit. You
and it's nothing ever major, you know.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
It's a here or there. Because
you and I are pretty much of a mind meld on this kind of stuff generally.
So I'll just, you know, right now it's just like when you get to this point in the draft, it's like you just, you know, can they get a win somehow? Can they sneak one in, you know, just to get some points, the top 10 or whatnot?
Right.
So I will take Ryan Blaney.
All right, Ryan Blaney. We talk about bloodlines and not dominant bloodlines with NASCAR, but nonetheless, he finished 20th on the series last year. He was 17th on the UQB. He was 17th on the intermediate races, which, of course, influenced that strongly. Tied for 7th on restrictor plate courses, 8th on super speedways, not in the top 20 average finish for short tracks or road tracks. Ryan Blaney, again, at this point in time here, young upside. But, again, I would say that's good to be getting in the late 4th round here. As somebody who can probably, you know, shoot to that point in time here, he finished 20th a year ago. You're getting him with the 19th pick. He's not likely to be appreciably worse than that and has a chance to do better than that, I would think.
We can always hope.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at, and it's funny because with Matt being up next. You said you thought and agreed with my call on the FDA's draft board that there was a drop-off after the 17th and 18th guys. And what's funny is the first guy that Matt had up on his list was the number 19 guy. So somebody that you and I had slotted below this point, but not appreciably below, but underneath a line of cutoff here, Chris Buescher is the pick. He finished 16th a year ago. And, again, did not place in the top 20 on any average track types last year. So he's a guy who didn't have any kind of real great strengths to his game, but managed to make it into the chase nonetheless, and you got to take your hat off to him for that.
Absolutely. It'll be interesting to see how the Patron brothers do. It'll be very, very interesting.
Yes, it will, won't it?
Because Sundays at the Patron residence.
Yes.
Boy, that would be a great reality show.
You know, there's any number of things that would be a great reality show. I mean, I know it's already being done with, like, Storage Wars and stuff, like with these guys going to auctions and stuff. I mean, hit me up, Hollywood. We could put some cameras on these guys. They are entertaining, naturally entertaining fellas. There's money to be made.
There is. Add alcohol?
Add alcohol to the mix. These guys, I love them to death. They are entertaining as hell. There is money to be made. You are absolutely right about that. And I would love to be the guy exploiting it, to be perfectly honest with you.
So. And so if it does come to fruition, remember whose idea this
was.
Yes,
yes. We're giving you an executive producer credit for that one alone. But I don't even know what's the best direction to go in. Put a camera on them watching NASCAR. Put a camera on them. I've been to auctions with them and had a lot of fun. There was one time in particular where I went with them, and it was the winter time, and it was like, this seems like the things that could only happen with certain people. Like, this had nothing to do with them, but I was there with them, and there's a guy, and he's wearing, like, a winter coat and whatever, and it was kind of like, you know, part of the way zipped up, and didn't have a shirt on underneath, like a middle-aged fat guy. I was like,
I swear it wasn't me.
It wasn't you, but it was something that just kind of made us laugh. Like, I never fail to have an entertaining time hanging out with those guys. And again, Hollywood, money to be made with that. Let's get a reality show going. Let other people enjoy the fun vicariously of hanging out with these guys, as we have gotten to do over a period of time. Why should we be selfish with the fun? The next pick here for Matt Patron, he goes Daniel Suarez with his pick. So just going for a newbie getting thrown into the mix here and figuring that he's going to have a good infrastructure behind him. And I think there are probably good reasons to suspect that will be the case.
That's a nice pick right there. I give him props.
It's definitely an upside pick, right?
Absolutely. You know, if that would have just rounded out Anthony's team very well.
Yes, it would have. Very much in fitting. Although, again, he took Ty Dillon in the second round. So, you know, he's swinging from the heels a decent amount himself. But any particular thoughts on how you think he might fare this year? It's hard to guess.
It's hard
a floor or a ceiling for him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it really is. You know, you just got to take a look at his teammates. You know, the team that he's with, and you know, Gibbs is a first class organization.
Right.
So that being said, working with Gibbs, I think he'll do better than most.
Right.
And if that's a way to tap dance around that answer, I don't know what is.
Well, I mean, that's all you can really cite, though. I mean, in fairness, is you look at what he's going to have there, what Gibbs is going to give him, that's all you really kind of have to go on. Because it's like when you're assessing, you know, as you and I do frequently, you say, with like baseball prospects, for example. I mean, you can look at what the guy did at AA last year and what a breakthrough it was, but it tells you nothing about how quickly they're going to be ready for the big league pitching. So I think that's the only thing that we have to look at. Your next pick, again, not much of a surprise. It's
not as easy as you think.
Not as easy? All right,
no.
Explain.
Well, you know, sometimes you have your heart.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes you draft with your heart.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a driver out there who it wouldn't be a huge reach.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, in my heart, I'm like, man, I really like this guy. And, you know, he's won races in the past, and he's got this personality that draws you to him that is not making it easy. But, yeah, I'm still going to take, Jamie McMurray, because this isn't about drafting with your heart.
Right.
I've done that before with Dale Earnhardt Jr. How many times?
Right.
This isn't about drafting with your heart. This is, okay, what is best? What is going to win me a championship?
What is, in the words of a man who a good friend of ours works for, what is best for business?
Exactly.
You're looking at it that way.
Yes.
And, again, you look at the last couple of years here, you've taken a guy here with the 22nd pick who has really outshone that draft position the last couple of years. 15th on the UQB last year, and you look at the consistency of it for where he's being taken. 15th on intermediate courses, 14th on restrictor plates, 9th on short tracks, 17th on super speedways, 11th on road courses, 13th place finish the last 2 years in the final standings. So he made the chase the last 2 years, 18th the year before. You're getting him here with the 22nd pick. That's value, my friend. He was 18th on the FDA's draft board.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's value, but, you know, like I said, sometimes you just kind of look, and I'm sure he's not going to last to me in the sixth round, who it is, but you'll know.
Right.
And it wouldn't surprise me who's up next.
Well, and it is funny with Anthony, because on the whole keeping it in the family thing here, not exactly the same kind of keeping it in the family thing here, unless you're one of these perverts tooling around on the deep web for other types of videos involving the Bush brothers. But keeping it in the family here for Anthony involves taking Ricky Stenhouse Jr. as his fifth-round pick to complement the misses in the fourth round. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was the very next one up on his draft board, and it was only a question of whether anybody in between would have him slotted high enough, and the answer was no.
So Danica was on top of Ricky Stenhouse?
Yes. Yeah.
On the draft board?
Not on our draft board, but on Anthony's draft board. So the headline takeaway for Anthony, if we're to sum up his fourth and fifth round picks, is Danica's on top. So we'll just leave it at that. Stenhouse, the last couple of years, pretty consistent. 21st last year, 25th in 2015, 27th. In 2014, so he's been about in that range and making incremental jumps up the last couple of years. 18th last year on the intermediate course races, 10th on restrictor plates, 20th on short tracks, tied for 5th on super speedways, and not in the top 20 average finish on road courses. And somebody that came into the series a couple of years ago with some degree of hype behind him, having done very well on the feeder system races here coming into NASCAR. Somebody who hasn't gotten to this point yet, but not like a Joey Logano where he came in with the level of hype of like, OMG, he could win it his first year. For the level of hype that he had coming in, for the incremental growth that he's shown thus far, he's probably been about appropriate to it, but he's going to have to make a step up into the teens one of these years if he's going to ultimately reach that point. There has to be a stepping stone year for him. If it's a stepping stone year for him in that sense, if he makes, I don't think they're calling it the chase anymore, but if he gets in there and is able to make some noise in the tail end of the season, then this will be a great value pick for Anthony if that happens.
Right. I mean, now looking back at this, you can start to see the rise of Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and I don't want to demise is the wrong word, but the downside of Roush Fenway Racing.
Right.
It all seems to have coincided. They lost Edwards. They lost Kenseth. So, you know, and Roush Fenway was the main team that Ford was putting their money behind.
That's right.
Between them and Penske, and Penske was flip-flopping between, you know, Dodge, Ford. They were going back and forth.
Right.
So I think the fact that, you know, he didn't have anybody really to work with, because two of the biggest stars on the Ford, on the whole Ford team, kind of left. And then, you know, that being said, then the Roush Fenway team began to slide, and you were putting all your eggs in the Ricky Stenhouse Jr. basket.
Right. So it's been an interesting sort of trajectory as far as how his career has gone, and have to see again. This should be, this kind of needs to be a year for him to really kind of make a move. And if he's able to do that, he'll really overshoot the mark for Anthony and give him great value. That's going to bring it to my next pick here, which is going to be, of course, the highest one available on the FDH draft board. 20th on that board, and I am getting him right now with the 24th pick, so I'm liking that. A.J. Allmendinger, and another guy who has done decent but not great to this point in his career. 19th last year, 22nd in 2015, 13th a chase year for him in 2014, kind of his high water mark thus far, 19th on the intermediate course races last year, 15th on restrictor plates, 12th on the short tracks, tied for 9th on the super speedways, tied for 5th on the road courses. He's a guy who, as he has grown, has gotten to have some better average finishes on just not just the kind of tracks that he raced on an open wheel, but he has sort of diversified his game across the board. Limited growth to this point in time here, but there's probably still some room for him. I would like to hope optimistically with him on my team for him to take another step forward.
Yeah, nice pick right there.
Thank you.
And he's always been consistent on, he may not always show it, but sometimes people just say, okay, road courses, there's where I can count on a couple of top fives, top tens out of Allmendinger.
That's right. I think people tend to see it that way, and I think that's how he generally has been known to step up more so than in even other areas. The next pick's for Nate. Nate is going to round out his team altogether with Trevor Bayne and with Clint Bowyer.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, and Clint Bowyer as the last pick on the fourth tier of drivers for FDH. So I kind of get boned a little bit on that one pick in front of me, because according to the draft board, there's something of a drop-off. Trevor Bayne and then Clint Bowyer. Bowyer's another guy who, again, there were greater expectations at one point in his career. 27th last year, that was kind of rock bottom. 16th in 2015, 19th in 2014. And for Trevor Bayne, again, it's always been that one defining moment that he's hoping to get past at some point here, of just having been, I don't want to say a fluke winner at the Daytona 500, but one of the more unexpected ones. He hasn't really had a follow-up act since then. 22nd last year, 29th in 2015. Was not a full-time driver in 2014. So your thoughts on Bayne and Bowyer to end it for Nate.
Yeah, Nate, such a solid team. I mean, right now looking at his team, you can't find much fault with it.
No, you probably can't.
Trevor Bayne, you hope that he can find, that second win, which would probably just vault him.
Yeah.
Clint Bowyer, that was the one guy I was thinking about taking ahead of Jamie McMurray.
Okay.
He's going to Stuart Haas.
Mm-hmm.
He raced for Michael Waltrip last year, which folded.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have so much better equipment.
Right.
And you just look at the teammates he's going to have. I think, again, would it surprise me if Clint Bowyer won a race this year? No, not at all. He's got better equipment than he had last year. He's got better teammates than he had last year. He's working with Ford, and this is Ford's number one team again. And to get a guy on a top-flight team this late in the draft is outstanding.
Well, and this is one of these things, too, and this is where I take my hat off to Anthony for trying to anticipate on this kind of stuff here, because there are things that guys have done well. A lot of the guys that are going fourth, fifth, sixth round, and I say guys to include Danica, drivers, that they've led at key points in the race. Well, if you're leading at the right point in the race, you're going to win the first stage or the second stage. You don't even have to win a race. It's not now all or nothing the way that it was. These things before, where it was like, they had a really good day, I'm not going to get the points out of it commensurate to what a day it was. Well, now you may get the points out of it commensurate to what it was. It wasn't a win, but you got a stage maybe.
Right.
And that's going to mean something. So, but we're in uncharted territory trying to figure that one out, I think.
Right.
So somebody like Bowyer seems likely to get at least that point. My last pick is going to be Eric Almirola, and a guy who not going in the right direction relative to where he was in the previous 2 years, but if he gets back to where he was the previous 2 years, it'll be a value. 26th last year, 17th in 2015, 16th in 2014. He made the chase that year. So if Almirola can bounce back at all, I'm getting some value here.
Yeah, if he can.
What do you think his odds are?
Yeah, when you're getting this late, everything is a coin toss.
Okay.
They're.
I won't get my hopes up.
Didn't say that, but.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not expecting you to wildly put over my last round pick, so I'll live. Anthony's last round pick is going to be Paul Menard. And that is an interesting one. Another guy who, again, had a drop-off but has been in the chase. Guys who've been in the chase going in the last round here, which is what's interesting. 25th last year, 14th and in the chase in 2015, and 21st in 2014. So thoughts on Paul Menard?
He's had up and down, you know, up and down races, up and down years. It's hard to put a finger on Paul Menard. He's not very consistent.
Yeah, but so he's got a chance maybe to steal one here.
Yeah.
As we go along.
Same with Almirola.
Yeah, you would think so. But we go now to the last two picks of the draft here, and what you do is going to possibly influence the last pick here, because I know who. Matt is going to go with off of his draft board if you don't take him. So we're looking at all guys left here on the FDH draft board that are among our sixth tier of drivers, and we're in the sixth round, fittingly.
I'll just go right off the draft board and take Landon Castle.
All right. 29th last year, another one of this new generation, the young bloods in NASCAR. What do you like about him? What do you think about him?
I didn't want to pronounce Stella Badobo.
Or Di Benedetto, as the case may be.
Him,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Castle, much easier to pronounce. No, yeah, he's part of the young bloods, and he don't. I guess it's when you're getting to this late into the draft, it's you're just kind of hoping.
Right. Well. The funny thing is here, the last pick that was made by Matt only went, and I can break kayfabe by saying this now, 17 down on his draft board. So when I refer to his draft board in the last round, he was going to defer to Anthony here in the last round. Matt actually got all five of his first five-round guys out of his top 17 overall because he was going off the board. All of them were gone. Daniel Suarez was the last one. He said defer to Anthony's board for however many rounds as possible. I would have thought that would have been two rounds minimum, but it ends up being one round. Anthony makes the pick for Matt of David Ragan, who, again, 33rd last year. And as far as just what to think about him, I mean, I don't mean to be mean, but kind of like he is what he is kind of what comes to my mind.
Yeah, I mean, he replaced Dale Jarrett in the UPS car years ago, and he never quite lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
Again, huge shoes to fill.
Yeah.
Kind of impossible. And, you know, you're getting them right here for a reason.
Well, and that's the whole thing here, too. I think in football coaching, it tends to go that way that, you know, replacing Bear Bryant at Alabama, it's easier to be the guy replacing the guy. And to whatever extent, doesn't that say a lot for Chase Elliott driving the 24 car and doing as well as he did? It is so hard to be the guy following the guy.
Absolutely. But the one thing Chase has in its favor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's still the 24 car,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the same sponsor.
True. Yeah, there is a little bit of a difference there, and that makes it a little bit easier. The five teams that we have, Matt Patron, who picked first overall, goes with Jimmy Johnson, Ty Dillon, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Chris Buescher, Daniel Suarez, David Ragan. You, Mike, ended up with the Busch brothers in the first two rounds, Kyle, then Kurt, Denny Hamlin, Ryan Blaney, Jamie McMurray, London Castle. Anthony Patron with Martin Truex Jr., Chase Elliott, Eric Jones, Danica Patrick, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Paul Menard. I, Rick Morris, with Joey Logano, Matt Kenseth, Kyle Larson, Ryan Newman, A.J. Allmendinger, Eric Almirola, Nate Noy with Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Austin Dillon, Casey Kane, Trevor Bayne, Clint Bowyer. Thoughts on how the teams shake up?
You got to love Nate's team. I really love, yeah, especially his first two picks.
Yeah, yeah, it's... He might have the highest floor for his team, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I very, very possibly. I'm liking how I came out of it.
Oh, absolutely.
I think you came out of it strong. Anthony and Matt rolled the dice in a few places. And, again, we know with Anthony it was a question of methodology. He is brave enough. I give him credit for guts. Guts to him for trying to figure in how drivers are going to do based on the new system and weighting his board, and I would say weighting his board moderately heavy in that direction. Matt, I'm not as clear on the methodology of, but again, there are a number of things that I've said along the way that could come off as a little bit dismissive of some of Matt's picks, but he's the defending champion. So if you're going to give credence to anybody, taking risks, and he's taking risks, the defending champion, you got to give him somewhat of the benefit of the doubt, at least.
Absolutely.
So we'll see how it plays out. But the one thing that was not a risk, that was not something that was up in the air, was, again, having fun doing this with you, having it be a blast, and having it turn out to be a great show, that is always 100% guaranteed. So, as always, Mike Ptak, our NASCAR, actually Motorsports overall, our Motorsports editor at FDH, always a pleasure, and I can't thank you enough for being a part of this, my friend.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. And thank you, everybody, for checking us out here in the FDH Lounge and the FantasyDraftHelp.com Insider.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN, Two, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.